Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Paddock and the Pavilion with me, your host, Stephen Wallace, for the second part of my chat with Stan Hayhurst, the oldest living Cheltenham Gold Cup winning jockey. In today's show, Stan remembers riding the giant Aintree fences of the 1950s and 1960s, including his connection with the massive pile-up in the 1967 Grand National, when the 100-1 outsider, Foinaven, shocked the sporting world. Stan reflects on the harsh winter of 1962-63, major victories at Ayr, and his life after riding. But let's start with another famous victory by Stan riding the mare Kirsten at Cheltenham. In part one, Stan, you said that when you won the Gold Cup, it was only your third ride at Cheltenham. How often did you come down to the festival?
Not that many times. I suppose five or six would be about it. But it's actually... In a while, I've got a good memory. That's the sort of thing I can't pinpoint.
You did come down, though, in 1959 to win the Hennessy on Kirsten.
Won the Hennessy on the mare. And on the day before the Hennessy, won a chase, 3 mile chase on Hurst's full sister, Lady Nina. So we had a double at that meeting.
What do you remember about the 1959 Hennessy? She was carrying 11 stone 10.
She did indeed. No mare's allowance in those days. Now, it was another exciting race, yes. But, you know, a race is a race. It is only afterwards you get, you suddenly accept, oh dear, I've won the Hennessy. You know, a race is a race while you're in there, because you're contemplating what others are doing, where you want to be, when you want to go on. So, yes, it's exciting, but straightforward.
She obviously liked racing at Cheltenham.
Well, she was a good mare around there. As I explained before, her action went up and down the bits of hills at Cheltenham with no problem, and she stayed, so that you always got a good gallop. You know, we ran in the Whitbread and we ran in the King George. The King George did Kempton being flat. They went flat out. I just couldn't keep up with them. And when we went to the Whitbread, the end of the season, she went down and she was fine. But on the morning of the race, she came into season. And we really, she probably shouldn't have run. But the fact that it was the last meeting of the season, the last race for her of the season, they decided to let her run and all she wanted to do was cuddle up to the geldings all the way around. Very, very difficult ride.
She was second in the Hennessy in the year before.
She was second, yes. Yes, I got caught very quickly by Taxidermist John Lawrence, yes. Again, I only heard him in the last couple of strides. And Kirsten, you couldn't use the whip excessively. You had to be very kind with the whip. She'd been a mare, she used to curl up if you hit her hard, you know. So I got pipped on the post in a photo finish, which I've still got upstairs. And it actually looks like a dead heat, but it wasn't.
Yes, I wasn't sure whether you rode her that day, because I'd recommend any racing fans to watch a clip on YouTube of the finish of that 1958 Hennessy Gold Cup when John Lawrence gets up. I think John Lawrence jumps the last fence, fifth.
Five lengths behind me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Quite a remarkable finish.
Apparently. I didn't see it because I was up front.
Well, let's move on to the Grand National. Again, to start with, about Kirsten, who was top weight in the 1959 Grand National.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did she take to those fences?
She made a little mistake at first, and that taught her a lesson. And she jumped like a stag the whole way, and we got round the first circuit, going the second circuit, going towards Beaches. Oxo was five or six lengths in front of me. I'm quite happy knowing I would stay, and went to Beaches, and Mick Batchelor was on Mainstown, another northern horse, and we collided sort of mid-air and put them off balance, and we both landed on the ground. Yeah. It was a big disappointment to me.
Do you think she would have gone close?
I think she would, but of course, as you already pointed out, 11:10, and it's still a long way from home, Beaches. But there we are. I just felt that she would have run very well.
What were those fences like in 59? Because I'm reading that the slopes of the fences were changed in 1961.
61 or 62, was it? Never mind. Yeah, yeah, one. Yeah. In that time, they were straight up and down. They were just like walls. They were just heaps of pine, fir, whatever they're making them of. So if a horse got close to them, you had no chance of getting over them, because underneath the cover were very thick stakes.
And Beaches Brook, you had the whole brook in those days.
Yeah, exciting Beaches.
Now, I wanted to talk to you about a very exciting Grand National, the 1967 Grand National, when you rode Castle Falls, because even though I didn't know much about Stan Hayhurst, when I heard the name Castle Falls, I thought, yeah. And I played back the recording of the 1967 Grand National, and it's your name always comes up, Castle Falls, because it's Rutherford's has been hampered, and so has Castle Falls. And that's what Michael O'Hare said at the Foynavon fence, not called the Foynavon fence at the time. But what do you remember about that fence?
Well, we went up to Beaches, John Leach on Rutherford's, and I.
You were in the lead, I think. You were in the lead.
Getting to the front, but we quietly did get up. I did quietly get up there, and we sort of sat quietly. And Popham Down, who'd fallen early, was galloping loose. And so we were wary of him, but he jumped the fences going up the Beaches absolutely straight, no problem whatsoever. Went to Beaches, and he jumped Beaches, and I think he gave himself a shock at the drop, and when he went to the Foynavon, he decided he'd had enough, and of course he ran across, and also that chestnut mare, can't remember her name offhand, ran across, that knocked John off, and he went under the wing of the fence. My horse got stopped by Popham Down and actually landed on top of the fence, straddled it, got pushed over with the weight of horses behind. And I remember saying to myself, get out of here, there's 40 bloody horses coming. And I sprinted to the side, and when I stood up and looked round, nothing had happened. Everybody was screaming and shouting, the public round the bend of that fence. The noise was terrific. And it was only when Tony Biddlecombe, yes, came out, walked over what was left of the fence on Greek Scholar and shouted, come on, lads, there's only one gone on. And, of course, the boys were all scrambling to get horses. My fellow was underneath the fence with his belly up, and so I couldn't get to him till everything had cleared. And as I popped up on him, and we did finish.
Yeah, you came 14th. It must have been unlike any other race you've been in.
It was all straightforward, very smooth, I must admit. I have ridden round Liverpool in other races, and I've never had any problem. You know, the horses I've rode have always taken to the fences, and I've enjoyed it. It really is something to think about and something to be pleased with, yes.
And you rode Castle Falls again in 1969. You came 13.
Well, he'd slipped a hock in 68, and they didn't think they'd be able to run him again. But then Charlie Hawley, he came right for them in 69, and they thought they would run him again. But he wasn't the same horse. Yeah. I did get round, but I was either second, last, or last, yes.
You did ride a horse that won the Grand National, though. You rode Red Alligator to 3 victories.
Ah, there's a story now, yes. Bobby Hall said to a chappie going to Dublin horse sales for the Dublin Horse Week, if you see anything unreasonable, I've got an owner, buy me a horse. So the horse that came was Red Alligator. And he was reasonably cheap, which was surprising because his dam, Miss Alligator, was third in the Oaks. And the butcher, Jack Manners from Bishop Auckland, was the man concerned, and he bought him. And we broke him in at Bobby's, and I rode him, and I managed to win a hurdle race at Sedgefield on him. And then the following year, Jack decided that he wanted the horse to come near home. Dennis Smith was going well in training Bishop Auckland, and Jack only had the sort of short car ride to go and see his horse. So I still rode him 3 or 4 winning races with Dennis, and then they decided they were going to run him in Grand National Trial at Catterick, and Tommy Wise, who was Dennis's assistant, rang me and said, you won't do 9-12, Stan, will you? I said, no. He said, well, do you mind if we let Brian ride him? Brian Fletcher, this was. And because he'd be able to claim off him. And so I said, well, there we are. And that was it. I never rode him again, Brian. Brian rode him after that.
Yeah, he won the race in Grand National in 1968 and was third in 1967. So you missed out on your Grand National win there.
He was unlucky in 67. He got stopped, I should think, more than any other horse. I watched this off the ground, and he was very, very unlucky, but he made up for it in 67-68. Yeah.
Coming later in part two with Stan, the Cheltenham Gold Cup winning jockey recalls the day he raced against the mighty horse Arkle. If you missed part one with Stan, you can download the show on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google or Spotify, and now on our YouTube channel. Let's get back to part two with Stan. So what do you think to the changes to the Grand National since you finished riding?
Oh, it's fantastic. It's tremendous. I mean, it's made it a good handicap race. It's you know, the fences are fair. Colonel Teacher came along in 62. Before that, we had various clerks of the people stewarding the makeup of fences and this sort of thing. But we were just forming the Jockeys Association way back then, and this Colonel Teacher came and spoke to jockeys, got their opinions, and that was when they put the angle, the 45-degree sort of angle on the fence, and made sense of them. And then, of course, they've improved and improved and improved since then. So it's pretty fair now.
And you're happy with 34 runners now instead of 40?
I think that's fair enough, isn't it? What would you think? That, you know, it's this dash to the first, and you've got 40. It's a bit of a crowd.
Thanks for your chat about the Grand National. One other topic I wanted to talk to you about during your career was the winter of 1962-63, although principally it was 63, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes, I'd say we raced at Ayr on the 30th of December, and then we didn't race until March. Have you got the dates?
I don't know exactly, but I know the Cheltenham Festival went ahead, didn't it? So
we got started a fortnight, I think. Was it a fortnight before Cheltenham? Or maybe 10 days. We certainly sent horses down to Newbury, and that was the first meeting, and all the way from Northumberland down to Newbury, because that was the first meeting after the frost.
What was it like then in Northumberland during January, February 63?
Yeah, it was hard work. Horses, we had to put straw down in the stable yard to be able to get horses around with the snow and the ice, and down to the gallops to get them. And then the snow ploughed. The major had a snow plough made for his tractor, and we snow ploughed the gallops. Yes, it was difficult for everybody.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Talking about Scotland, you won the Scottish Champion Hurdle in 1970.
I did. On Easter Pirate, yes. Yes. Yes, I was lucky at Ayr, Well, it is my favourite race course. So it was, you know, I probably rode more winners there than on any other track. And I was pleased about it because we went to Doncaster. Bobby Fairbairn, who trained him, said to me, well, you know, I'm looking to buy a horse for Miss Robertson's. Are you coming down to Doncaster? And I said, yes. And we looked round, and I knew of the horse previous that Martin Blackshaw had been riding him, and he seemed a nice sort of horse. And so Bobby bought him, and then that was it, the story. He went on to win hurdle races, chases, and plus the champion, Scottish champion.
That must have been a special day, though, to win the Scottish champion hurdle.
Well, I won the champion novice chase on the same day. So I had a nice double. And Tamarosia, I rode in the Scottish National. And he was a horse who never got any further than 2.5 miles. And yet we ran him in the Scottish National 3.25. And I finished fourth on him. So I actually had a very, very happy day.
Your last win was on the 7th of December, 1972. You must have been 39, and your last ride, 31st of May, 1973. How difficult was it to retire?
No, I had decided that before Bobby Fairbairn came along and offered me a small retainer for the Miss Robertsons, I had, because having the newsagent's business, there was always something back home. So I had thought about it, and Bobby came one day and said to me, I hear you're thinking about retiring. I said, well, yes, you know, I've got business at home, so I've got something to do. And he said, well, I wondered, he said, if you would fancy having a small retainer with the Miss Robertsons. So I said, why not? I knew they didn't have many, and they wouldn't be running horses all over the countryside. So that was that, and we were quite successful, yes.
We ended with 301 winners. Did you miss riding?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes. Well, you do, because of the camaraderie, the weighing room, the valets who, I mean, I had my valet from, well, his father for the first couple of years, and then Fred retired and Phil Taylor took over, and he was my valet right through right up till 73. So you do miss the weighing room chatter, you know.
You must have experienced some changes from 1950 to 1973.
Oh, a lot. Safety was the main one, which was great. We were just, as I said earlier, we were just starting up the Jockeys Association, which we did in the north first, and we were the first ones to ask the south to come and join us, and that was the start of the thing. And David Nicholson, Stan Meller, and Jack Boddy and I went to the first ones to meet up with the senior National Hunt stewards and discuss any problems that we had and any suggestions, and things start to improve from there. So there was lots of changes.
So how do you reflect on your riding career of 23 years?
Well, I certainly enjoyed it, yes. My problem was going to Africa. It took 2 years out of my early racing days, so I lost contact, you know, this sort of thing. So when I came back, I got the job with Major Burke, but I was only going to be second jockey. Now, if I hadn't gone to Africa, if I hadn't gone into the army, maybe I'd have got first jockey's job and ridden the better horses and more of them. You see, I think I had probably, I had one season 200 rides, another one 180, but they were roughly around about the 130s. And so I was only always a second jockey.
But was there less racing in those days?
Oh, yes. We 2 days a week, sometimes only one. You know, fortunately, we had the Haydock Parks midweek, Wednesday, Thursdays. And Ayr used to be a Saturday, Monday. Yes, it was very little. You know, our top jockey in the north would probably get about 200 rides.
Who was the best jockey then you have seen and or rode with?
Well, I always admired Brian Marshall. You know, he was, you see, in our time, if you look at films or whatever, there was no stylists then, but Brian was, and Martin Maloney, Tim Maloney's brother, he was very, very kind to horses, quiet, and the horses went for him very well, yes.
And the best horse you've seen?
Well, I would have to say the best horse I've ridden, obviously Kirsten, but the best horse I've seen would be Arkell.
Did you ever get to be in a race where he rode in?
Yes,
or?
Yes, we ran. We ran. Bought a band, Border King, in a chase, 3 mile chase at Cheltenham, and early days of Arkell, and during the race, the front runners, I think it was Bill Rees, was running to the right, and everything was following him, so everything was a bit of a mix-up. And going down, we jumped the water, and going down the backside, Pat Taff said, "Jesus, I'm getting out of this." And he gave the horse a bit of a squeeze, and, you know, in five strides, he was 10 lengths in front of me. And my horse wasn't slow.
You mentioned after racing you had a newsagent. So you were also a steward, weren't you?
Yes. Frank Scotto, who was chairman of Sedgefield and a very good friend, said to me, "When I stopped riding in 73, the jockey club came along and said, would I like to do some judging on a temporary, just a casual basis to fill in for holiday weekends and that sort of thing. So I said yes, and thinking, well, you know, it'll all fit in with Sedgefields and Newcastles and Hexhams. But in their wisdom, they were sending me down to Bangor-on-Dee and Market Raisin and Southall. So it was difficult with the business. So I lasted for 5-6 years, and I said to them, no, it's not working. And then, of course, suddenly we'd changed. I'd bought a little business over in Concert, and the steelworks closed down in 81. So I said, well, this is it. I can't afford to employ somebody to do my work when I'm away, so I'd have to stop. So I did that, and that's when Frank asked me to join the stewarding club, which I did, and they said, right, that's fine. And then Hexham came along, and Kit Patterson came along and said, right, if you're doing Sedgefield, would you like to join me at Hexham? And I said, yes. And then Newcastle, Billy Newton came along and said, would you like to join us at Newcastle? So I said, yes. So I had three, and I filled in quite a bit for other parks courses who were short of stewards. So I enjoyed it, yes, and that lasted till 2007.
Oh, they kept you busy then, didn't they?
It was tremendous, yes, and good fun, yes. Yes, because I had people like Stuart Macmillan, Graham Macmillan, John Alder, chaps that I'd known all the racing time. They were on the panels with me. So it all went very smoothly and very well, yes.
So just thinking you were doing that until your mid-70s then, weren't you?
I got to 74. I was the cut-off for stewards is 70, but I got to 74. But I think the reason for that was they were talking about all weather at Sedgefield, and they'd approached me and said, if we get the all weather, would you be prepared to come to the night meetings? And I said yes. So I think that's why they allowed me to go to 74 instead of 70. But in the meantime, it switched because the same people owned Sedgefield and New Newcastle, the Clarks, got the all-weather license at Newcastle.
And you do you still go racing now?
I went up till the COVID. I'm obviously a member. They gave me a member free membership at Hexham after finishing the stewarding. And up to COVID, I went, yes. But strange enough, it's coincidental, my health has gone down since that. Not having COVID, but my health has gone down a bit, yeah.
But you still follow the sport closely on television?
Every afternoon, before you came in or before Claire set up, I was switching the television on, yes.
And you'll be on your sofa next week to watch Cheltenham?
Non-stop. I've got a couple of things. Claire took a photo the other day to send off, and it's 6 days to Cheltenham, so I announced this and mentioned that I won the Gold Cup. So I assume 6 days will be Friday, is it? I'll be Friday or Saturday, they'll be showing me this.
Well, we look forward to that. Do you remember the photo in Chris's book of 1974 when they photographed all the then-winning jockeys of the Cheltenham Gold Cup?
50 years.
1974, yeah.
Yeah. That was a good night, actually. Yeah. Down in London. Queen Mother was there. So it was a good night.
Well, thank you very much, Stan, for being on the podcast. Thanks also to Andre Klein of Cheltenham Racecourse and your daughter, Claire, who's now in the background, for setting up the interview with you. It's been an absolute pleasure. Your memory for a 90-year-old is amazing. And Stan, enjoy watching the Cheltenham Gold Cup, a race you won back in 1958.
I certainly shall. I would like to go, but I'm not sure what's happening just yet.
Well, it's a long way from Northumberland, Cheltenham.
Oh, for the actual meeting, because it's very tiring. It's. I don't know whether you go to Cheltenham for the Gold Cup, but it's very tiring. But there's some chance that they might want me down on the Monday to have a chat.
I hope you can get down. If not, enjoy all the Cheltenham racing on the sofa at home.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much. Yes.
Sports Social Podcast Network.